The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
He's the Savior of sinners, the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for those he knows in all their shabby brokenness.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'd like to let St. Augustine introduce what you're about to hear today. He preached these words. When I seek to get into you, that is, into your heart, I preach Christ. Were I preaching something else, I should be trying to climb up some other way. Christ, therefore, is my gate to you. By Christ I get entrance, not to your houses, but to your hearts. It is by Christ I enter. It is Christ in me that you have been willingly hearing. And why is it that you have thus willingly hearkened to Christ in me? Because you are the sheep of Christ, purchased with the blood of Christ. You acknowledge your own price, which is not paid by me, but is preached by my instrumentality. He, and only he, was the buyer who shed precious blood, the precious blood of him who was without sin. I just love that. So then, remembering that he has just introduced himself as the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, he continues in John chapter 10 at verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" John 10, verses 12 to 32. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious Lord, you cause your word to be proclaimed in every generation. Stir up our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that we may receive this proclamation in humility and finally be exalted at the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's dig into this marvelous reading. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The mark of the hired hand is that he runs when trouble comes along on four paws and with a howl. He saves his own hide rather than battle the wolf to save the lives of the sheep. And he does this because he only works there, if you will. The sheep actually don't belong to him. He may feel sorry to see the flock harassed and some of them eaten, but hey, it's only a job. He's not about to risk his own safety just to save someone else's property. And of course, The key is that the sheep are someone else's property. Don't only think of Psalm 23 with its, "The Lord is my shepherd," which, by the way, the Vulgate rendered with, "The Lord is my king." But I think of Psalm 95 and of Psalm 100, these words, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So to God, the threat of the wolf is personal. It's attacking his possession, for he owns us. Owns us doubly over. Owns us because, as the Psalms put it, he's our maker, but also owns us because he will be our redeemer. He will buy us back at the staggering cost of his own blood. Paul will tell the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 to take care of the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And he warns that wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. And even from among themselves, false teachers will rise up, speaking twisted things to draw men away to themselves, rather than keeping them hanging on to the shepherd. So the wolf here, as you know, is Satan, but more specifically, it is Satan in his work of subverting you from the words of God. He always works to separate you from God's words, because he knows that it is only through those words that you have the faith that clings to Jesus and that delivers you from the wrath to come. He doesn't much care how he can get you to let them go, provided whatever he throws your way finally works and the words are pried away from your heart and your mind. The hired hands are those who are in the business of caring for the flock for the earthly advantages it might yield. They're not up for the real battle against the lies and the slander of the enemy. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He brackets being the good shepherd who lays down his life with this, "I know my own, and my own know me." In a deep kind of knowing, like unto the knowing between me and my Father. Think about this. The one who proclaims himself your good shepherd is the one who knows you through and through. Who knows your hidden fears, your sins, your rebellions, your heartache, and every suffering of your life. He knows all that time and space can do to a person, and he's the one who loves you so much as to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for you. Years ago, I got into a bit of hot water when I put up on the church sign, "For sinners only, the righteous need not apply." A member took umbrage at that. But I put it up again in a heartbeat. He's the Savior of sinners, the good shepherd who lays down his life for those he knows in all their shabby brokenness. I've said it before, let me say it again. He does not love you for what he will finally make out of you. He loves you even in the mess you find yourself in at this very moment. How glorious is that? And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. He's speaking of us Gentiles here. Not of this fold means not Jews. And he has the work of bringing the Gentiles also, making them with the Jews into one flock with one shepherd. And did you notice the principle of their unity? Whence does it arise? They will listen to my voice. A great teacher in the 20th century, Dr. Kenneth Corby, loved to point to this and say, "See, we focus on the wrong thing when we use eye talk. It's ear talk that counts with him. The church's unity is in the hearing of the voice of Jesus." Find people who give an ear to Jesus, and lo and behold, you found the church. You found the flock of the Good Shepherd. And that flock is one because the voice that shepherds it, that voice is one. It's Christ alone. For this reason, the Father loves me, that I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. Oh, people loved by God, do you grasp what he's saying? The Father loves him in everything he does, in laying down and taking back his life. Jesus here disabuses you of the notion that the Father himself is in some way against you while the Son is on your side. No, the Father has given this Son whom he loves into the flesh to do this laying down and taking up of his life again. And the Father loves his doing of it because his doing of it is what saves you and me. Any attempt to consider the death of Jesus just another tragic abuse of political power has to ride roughshod over Jesus' own declaration here. No one takes his life. No one. He lays it down of his own accord. If he did not will to die, he would not have died. He gives up his life in the confidence that he will take it up again, just as his Father had charged him to do. Verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The old division that we had heard happening many chapters before, it was exacerbated in chapters 8 and 9, is evident again in full force. Some listening to him shook their heads and walked away, jeering at those who stayed. Who could listen to such nonsense? Lay down my life, take my life up again, one flock, as though the Gentiles would ever listen to him. It's all balderdash. And off they stride. Others thought about what he said and came to the conclusion, he's not speaking like Satan would. He's not crazy. He opened the eyes of that blind man after all. A man blind from birth. There's something here. And so they show themselves to be of his flock, for they hear his words, and they stay with them. In our own day and age, people loved by God, the voices are myriad that would call you away from attending to the voice of your good shepherd, your Jesus. And the hatred toward him hasn't diminished one bit in the centuries since the events transpired and his words were first spoken. Yet, you make it a point to be in that flock that listens when he speaks and goes on listening and pondering until you cry out with Peter that there's no other place you could possibly go. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. He, your Jesus, your good shepherd, who laid down his life for you. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.